Today's Daf Yomi is Daf Nun in the Gemara in Brachos, and we begin on the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Tes Omid Beis. The Mishnah tells us, Ketzad Mizamnin, how do you actually do the Bracha of Zimun? So if you have three people, Bishlosha, Omer, Nevorech, the person who's leading the benching should say, let us bench, Nevorech, She'ochal Mumi Shalom. If there, however, are three people plus him, then he says, Bishlosha Vahu, Omer, Baruch, he tells them to go unless he doesn't include himself. We don't passing like this, and the Gemara will have a whole discussion about this. If there are 10 people, the Tana of our Mishnah says if you have 10 people, you change the Nusach Rabban, which is, of course, the halacha that we say, Basar Omer Nevarech Elokeinu. We add the word Elokeinu, because now you have 10, so we can say the word Elokeinu. If there are 11 people, Be'asar V'ho, so then he tells him, Baruch Hu, you go bless Hashem. He doesn't include himself in the bracha. Again, the same question will arise over here. And the Tana of our Mishnah says, this is the way the Gemara will explain this, Echor Asorah, the Echor Asorah Ribo. We continue with this Girsa, which is the way we paskin. This is Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that it's just Nevarech Elokeinu, whether there's 10, 11, or 1,000, or 10,000, it doesn't make any difference how many people there are. Once you have 10, it's the same Nusach, no matter how many more than 10 you have. However, now we're going to bring Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, B'meya, if you have 100 people, then the Girsa changes. Up to 99, it doesn't change. But now if you have 100 people, B'meya, who Omer, Nevarach, Hashem Elokeinu. You add on the words Hashem to Elokeinu. If you have 101, B'meya V'ho, so then you say again, V'omer Baruch Hu, use the Lashon, you go bless Hashem's name. The same question for all of these, why don't you say Nevarach? If you have 1,000, now up to 999, it doesn't change. You say Hashem Elokeinu. But now if you have 1,000, Ube Elef, Hu Omer Nevarech, La Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael. You add on this extra girsa. If there are 1,001, Be Elef, Vehu, you say Omer Baruch Hu. With this Nusach, again, you don't say Nevarech, you say you bless. Beribo, Ribo is 10,000. If you have 10,000 people, then you add on additional words, Omer Nevarech, Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, and you add on Elokei Tzvakos, Yoshev Akruvim, Al Hamazon, Shochalnu. So that's what you say when you have 10,000. If you have 10,001, Beribo, Vehu, then you say, Omer Baruch Hu. You tell them to go bless Hashem, and you don't say Nevarech. And he says, this is Rabbi Yosef Galili continuing, Kinyan Shu Mevarech, Kach Onim. Same way that you expressed as the leader of the benching, you added these extra words, so too all the respondents, they say, after you, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzvakos, Yoshev Akruvim Al Hamazon, Shochalnu. So they respond in a like fashion. Rabbi Yosef Galili continues. That's what the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Yosef Galili Omer, this is a continuation of his statement. The reason why you add on a different nusach when it's 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 is Lafi Rov HaKol Hemavarachim. Because when you have additional people, you have to, based upon a pasuk, he'll say in a moment, you have to get additional praises. Shenemar, B'makilos, Baruch Elokim Hashem Mimakor Yisrael. This B'makilos, in different congregations, you praise Hashem differently. That's the way Rabbi Yosef Galili teaches this pasuk. Amar Rabbi Akiva, who's really the Tana Kama over here, Rabbi Akiva responds to Rabbi Yosef Galili and says, no, in a shul, do we do this? Mamatzin Reves HaKnesses, Echem Eruvim, Echem Watim. If you have 10, 11, 100, 1,000, you say the same Nusach in shul. Omer Baruch Hu Es Hashem, we don't say a different Girsa. If you have more than 100, more than 1,000, more than 10,000 people, so too by benching, you don't say a different Girsa. And the understanding over here is, in a shul, Tosus explains, even Rabbi Yishmael agrees that you don't add on, because in a shul you don't know how many people you have. It's constantly changing, people walking in, walking out. By benching, it's kavua, so you can know how many people you have. But that's the fundamental machlokas, as the Gemara is going to explain over here, between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Tanakama who says you don't change it around. By 10 you do, but not more than 10, it's the same girsa. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, depending on the number of people in congregation, you change around the girsa. As an aside, Rabbi Shmuel argues on the latter thing that Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva said, you just say Baruch Hu Es Hashem, and Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevoruch. You put in an additional praise, which is how we, of course, paskin. Now, we start off with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, La'olam ha'yotzi odim esatzim in ha'klal. Shmuel says, like Rabbi Akiva, don't exclude yourself. Don't tell them to go bless. You should say, let us bless. Don't exclude yourself. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, B'shlosh shavuhu, Omer Baruch Hu. But wait a second, our Mishnah says, if there are three plus you, so then you're telling them, Baruch Hu. So this seems to contradict Shmuel. So Shmuel explains, Eima, Af Baruch Hu. You would be Yotzei if you just said Baruch Hu, because after all, you're telling them to go bless Hashem, but it would be preferable, Mikol Mokom, Nevarich Odif. It would be better to say Nevarich, to include yourself, as Shmuel said. The Omer Rav Adam Rav, Amri Bei Rav, they learned in the base Medrash of Rav a similar idea of what Shmuel just said, and this would be the proof that Shmuel is correct. Because he learned the base Medrash of Rav, Tanina, we learned, Vav Nechlok, if you have six people eating together, they can break up into two groups of three. Until 10, Ad Yod, you can break up into a group of 4 and 5, when you have 9. But once you have 10, you can't break up, because then you have to say, Lel Kenu. Now, if you're telling me that there's an advantage to saying over here, Baruch Hu, Yamas Bishlam and Nevarich is odd. If you say that Nevarich is better, so then, Mishum Hachi Nechlokim, that's why you can break up when you have six people, because you're still going to say three and three, and Nevarich is better. El Yamas Baruch Hu, but if you say that Baruch Hu is better, how can you break up when you have six people? You should say, it's better to say Baruch Hu. If you break up the three and three, you can't say Baruch Hu. Amai Nechlokim. Therefore, El Alav, Shmamino, Nevarich, Adiv, Shmamino. This is a good Rai from the base Medrash of Rav, and it's like Shmuel, and this is what we do, Halacha Maisa. We say Nevarich instead of Baruch Hu. We have a Tosefta that says the same thing. Tanya Nami Hochi. Bein Shomar Baruch Hu, Bein Shomar Nevarich, Ein Tovsin Osoa Kach. Either Girsa is technically correct. If you're saying to them Baruch Hu, that's okay. If you're saying Nevarich, let us bless Hashem, that's okay too. However, Vaha Nakdonin, Rashi says over here, the Nakdonin are people that are Makbid over here, they do it correctly. Rashi says he's a dafkonim, people are very careful. Tovsin also al shotzi asman akol. Why did you take yourself out and say, you guys go bless and spay, let us bless? So tovsin also al kach. They tell you, no, the correct girsa is nevarach. Oh, the Brice is in support of what Shmuel and Rav said. Then the Gemara continues in the Tosef, the umibir chosav shel odam. You can tell from the way a person makes a bracha if he's a talmid chacham or not. Okay, it's not how do you see this? So Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, if you say the words uvetuvo chayinu, harei zeh talmid chacham, because you're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his greatness goes and gives us all these brachos. If you say umituvo harei zeh bor, but that's an ignorant way to say it when you say only some of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing, so to say, is on us. You're limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing on us. Mituvo, from his blessings, as opposed to with all of his blessings. So if you see the way the person speaks is whether you can tell he's a talmid chacham or an ignorant person. The pasuk says elsewhere in Shmuel, it says "Umbir chasicha yivorach beis avdecha liolam." So it says "Mi bir chasicha," so from your blessings. So isn't that contradictory to what we just said? Umi tuvo. So Gemara says no. B'sheilo shiny. It's different when you're asking. When you're asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're allowed to say, "Please give me some." You shouldn't ask for a lot. Rashi says it's a chutzpah. You should be like a poor person coming in to ask for a little bit, rather than an arrogant person asking for a lot. So Gemara says, "Wait a second. B'sheilo nami yoksiv." It says you can ask a lot, so how can you tell me here you're asking only a little bit? Here it says, open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it up. So you're asking for everything. So Gemara says, no, how would the Torah say? That's by Torah. By Torah, you're allowed to say for a lot. But by Gashmias type of things, you should only ask for a little. Tanya, we learn in the Bright, sir, Rabbi Yomer, Betuvo Chayinu, or is it Talmud Chacham? If you say Betuvo Chayinu, we live with your goodness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a Talmud Chacham. But if you say Chayim, that God grants just life, so then Harei Zeh Bor, because you're limiting it, that you're saying God gives us the minimal necessary just to live. In Narboli, however, they learned the other way. The people from Narboli, they learn Mas Neivcha, the exact opposite. However, we don't paskin like them, Veles Huchasa, Kinar Bloi. They're incorrect, and we paskin the first way, like Rabbi said. Somebody uses the Lashon, again, we'll lead to the Lashon, so we have Lamaisa, they had the more correct versions, so you say, we ate from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishalo, that's a Talmud Chacham saying it. That's an ignorant way to say it, if you say it from the one that we ate it from. Tosu says, that can imply that you're thanking the Balabas for giving you the lunch. Amli Rav Acha Brei the Rav Ola Rav Ashi says, wait a second. Vo Amri, don't we say, the Moran Pesachim says, L'misha Asalav Huseinu V'lanu Es Kol HaNisim Weilu. In the Haggadah Nusach, we say, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the one who gave us this. So maybe we're thanking the Baal HaBas over here too. So he says, no. Amale, Hosam Muchach HaMilsa. There it's clear that you're thanking Hashem. Why? Manu Avid Nisei. Who else could make Nisim? You can't thank somebody for making an ace other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kut Shabrichu. So obviously there it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here, when he's saying, thank you to the one who gave me his food, so then it could be talking about the Baal HaBas. That's why you have to say Mishlo from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food we are eating. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says further, Baruch, some of the Girsa Nevarich, but either way, Baruch Shalchal Mishlo, Harei Zeh Talmud Chacham. If you say, we thank you Hashem, Shalchal Mishlo, we ate from you, that's the proper way to say it. But if you say, Al HaMazon Shalchalnu, so then Harei Zeh Bor, that's also an improper way to say it. On the side it has the gear, so the mischazi command the mavarich le mazon. It's like you're thanking over here the mazon and not thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm refuun of the Yeshua, lo amor nele begimel. That which we say over here is when there's three people, you have to say shalchal mishalo. However, because you're not mentioning Hashem's name, the lek Hashem shemaim. Abu Biasar, when you have ten, the ik Hashem shemaim, it's clear that you're saying la Hashem, mavarich elokeinu. So mucha milsa, then it's clear. Kiditnan. As we said in our Mishnah, the way that you say is the way that you respond. So even though we don't follow Rav Yosef Lili and we change the gears by 10 to 100 to 1,000 to 10,000, nevertheless, we all agree that when the person says, Nevarach Elokeinu, so the respondents say, Baruch Elokeinu. So they can add on. And as the Mishnah said, we just quote the Mishnah over here, even though that's not La'alocha. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Atzvah, Chiz Yoshe Kruv, Alamazun, Shochalnu. So we say Baruch Elokeinu, Shochalnu Mishalot Vochayinu. So therefore, it would be clear in that situation, even though we still say the Girsa, Shochalnu Mishalot. But if you didn't, that wouldn't be a bor. Then we said in the Mishnah, Echad Asar V'Echad Asar Ribo. This is the opinion of the Tanakama, which we see is Rabbi Akiva. And then we seem to change it. Hagufa Kasha. Right away, we then say, Amris, Echad Asar V'Echad Asar Ribo. It's no change in the gear, so whether it's 10 or 10,000, Alma, Ki Adadin Yenu, we consider them all the same. V'Adukhtani B'Meya. And then right after you say B'Meya, Omer this. B'Elef Omer this. B'Ribo Omer this. So we change the gear. So which one is it? So as I already explained, the Rav Yossi Lokasha, these are two different opinions. One is the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Akiva, and the second opinion is Rav Yossi Aglili. Ha Rav Yossi Aglili, the second opinion that says you change it around each time for a 10, for 100, for 1,000, for 10,000 is Rav Yossi Aglili, and the Tanakama, ha Rabbi Akiva. That's not, because we see right after that in the Mishnah said, Rav Yossi Aglili, Omer, Lefi Rov HaKol, Hei Mevorach, Shinem HaBemachilos, Baruch HaLukim. So Rav Yossi Aglili's opinion is different congregations bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently. Nudigmar says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Mamatzin Vesa Kesel Chulei, we quote the Mishnah, which says, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. But what does he do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yossi Aglili brought? The Rabbi Akiva, Hai Kra, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili, my Ovidle. Rabbi Yossi Aglili has a pasuk. What does Rabbi Akiva do with that pasuk? So Rabbi Akiva needs him, Abai Lilich Adetanya. He needs it for the following drush from the Gemara in Ksubas. Also in Sota. Hi, Rabbi Meir, Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Minayin shafilu ubarin shebemei iman amru shir al hayom. In the Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, we already had this Gemara earlier in Amasecht as well, that even the ubaros, even the fetuses inside their mothers, said shir on the yam. How do we know this? Because he says, shenema b'ma kelos baruch elokim Hashem mimakor Yisrael. That these congregations of ubros, they even praise that Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Rabbi Akiva does with this pasuk, but not to change it around. If you have adult men in a meal, if you have 10, you say this, 100, you say that, 1,000, you say that, that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold from. No, Rav Yossi Aglili also holds that the ubaros on the yam gave shira to Hashem. So how does he learn it out? V'idach, what does Rav Yossi Aglili use to learn that drasha from? He says, mimikar nafki, he says from the word makar, which means from the rechav. That's where you learn it out. The makilos, however, he can use for his multiple different levels of praise, depending on the size of the congregation. How do we pasuk? The war says, "Amar Rava, Halachi Rabbi Akiva." We pasuk like Rabbi Akiva, which is, of course, that we all know that until you have 10, you don't say Elokeinu. Once you have 10, but any number above 10, even 20,000, you would still say just Navarach Elokeinu. Ravina, Rav Chama Barbuzi, these two great Amorim, Iklu Lebei Reish Galusa. They once by the Reish Galusa's house. Now, the Reish Galusa would often go and supply people with food. We find many times throughout Shas that the Reish Galusa, the people would eat by the Reish Galusa's house. Come Rav Chama, so Rav Chama got up, they were looking to bench, they only had a few people over here, the Komahad there, Abe Meo, he was looking to see, there a lot of people at the Reish Galusa's table, do we have 100? So I'm like, Ravina, Lo Tzrichas. We don't need to look for 100, because it doesn't make a difference. If we have 98 right now, don't look for two other people, because it doesn't change the bracha around at all. Hachi Amar Rava. Rava said, Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva, that we don't change the nusach. Once you have 10, that's it. Doesn't make a difference how many more. Amar Rava, ki achlinam rifta bei Reish Galusa. Another time when we were eating by the Reish Galusa, now there were lots of people at the Reish Galusa's house, but we would split up, we each had our own tables, and Varchinun Gimel Gimel. We made our own little zimun on the side, and we didn't wait to go and bench with the Reish Galusa, even though it meant that we were losing out on saying Elokeinu. Where it says, why did they go break up into groups of 10? Vilavarchu Yud Yud. And this way they could say Elokeinu and they wouldn't lose out on anything because they were concerned. Shama Reish Galusa V'Ikbit. If they did it a little bit alone, three guys on the side, nobody's going to notice. But they do 10, they have to raise their voices. And all of a sudden, the Reish Galusa is going to say, hey, how come you guys aren't benching with us? That's not nice. So therefore, they didn't want to upset the Reish Galusa. Why did they want to go and be yotzi with the Reish Galusa? What was their rush to go bench over here? So it says, I did the afshu kulyam aloshmiya because there was too many people there and they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to hear it properly. Therefore, they felt it was better to go and do their own zimun, even with three, and giving up the 10 because they would hear it properly and not go and take the chance that they wouldn't hear it properly. On the Rabbi Tosfa said, "Hani gimu dekachi riftu b'hadi adode." If the three people that are eating together, and one of them v'kod mechad minayu ubarach ledaite, and one benched on his own, so he didn't bench b'zimun, but the other two they still have a chiv to bench b'zimun. Inun, those other two nafkin b'zimun didei. They're yotze now when they bench b'zimun with this guy, but ihu lo nafik b'zimun. But he doesn't get credit for davening b'zimun. They can use him for the zimun, but he doesn't get credit. Why? The ihu lo nafik b'zimun didu. He doesn't fulfilled his obligation, he lost out on that because he benched on his own. He doesn't fulfill his obligation to a bench bezimun when he benches with them bezimun, but they fulfill their obligation. Why? Because he already benched. So he lost the opportunity to bench with Zimun. he wasn't Mekayim, that mitzvah. But they, who they still have the obligation, can include him, and even though he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Zimun, those two other people are fulfilling the mitzvah of Zimun. Then we say in the Mishnah, Rishmo Omer, that you don't say just Baruch Hu Es Hashem, but you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach, which is of course the girsa that we do. Rafin Bar Papa Iklo Vekinishta. One time Rafin Bar Papa came to the Beis Knesses, and it was in a city called Dabe Gevar, and he said, Kom Krua B'Safra, and he got the Aliyah. So he started to say Baruch Hu Es Hashem. So he said, V'Amo Baruch Hu Es Hashem, V'Ishtik, but he didn't say HaMevorach. V'Lo Amar HaMevorach. So Avshu Kuliyama Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. Everybody yelled at him. Everybody said, hey, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach is the girsa. So Amar Rava, Pas Yochma. So Rava said to him, you black vessel over here, you black pot. On the side it brings down, look in Rashi and Shabbos. And Rashi and Shabbos says over there, Shedarkun Shol Tamidei Chacham Mishimitztarin Alimun HaTorah. Tamidei Chacham are so engrossed and involved in the Torah, the Einon Mechabsim Bigdeim. And they're not so careful sometimes about having clean clothing. They're so immersed in Torah, they don't realize. They've sitting there at the Beis Medrash for a week and they haven't changed their clothing, and their clothing is dirty. So that's why he called them Pasya Uchma. That's a very common expression that's used throughout Shas to refer to a Talmud Chacham. Others explain that their face is darkened because they don't eat well. They're very poor. And therefore, they have a darker complexion because of that. In any event, he called them, you black vessel, you black pot over here. Bahadi Pluk Sulamalach. Why'd you get involved in Machlokas over here? Even Rabbi Akiva says, you're Yotze if you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. And Rabbi Shmuel says, you're not Yotze if you don't say HaMevorach. So why not be Yotze both and say HaMevorach? Furthermore, Va'od. He says, the Velt Paskin's like Rabbi Yishmol. It's interesting, the Tamid Rabbi Yonah point out over here, the Talach is like Rabbi Akiva, but the Velt Paskin's over here like Rabbi Yishmol, since even Rabbi Akiva says it's okay to do what Rabbi Yishmol said. So even though technically the Talach is like Rabbi Akiva, but if the Velt had taken upon themselves the custom to sort of say be machmir like Rabbi Yishmol, they have the right to do so. They ask an interesting question in the Beis Yosef. He quotes the Magen Avraham. So how come by davening we say Baruch Hu? Why don't we say Nevarach Es Hashem HaMevorach? Why don't we do the same lashon? We just said Nevarach is Adif. So he explains, in davening, you can technically be motzi somebody even if you're not davening. The person who was already yotze could technically be motzi somebody else. So he doesn't necessarily have to say nevarach because he was already yotze. So therefore he tells them, Baruch Hu. But by benching, you can't be motzi somebody else unless you're also eating. So that's why by benching, it's always nevarach if you're the one leading the benching. Very beautiful explanation. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Gimush achu kiachas, three people that are eating together as a unit. Enan rashay l'cholik, they're not allowed to separate. Likewise, v'chein dalet, v'chein chamisha. They're not allowed to separate if they have four or five. However, once you have six, if they want to, three guys are still eating, three guys want to bench, so they can separate. So six, seven, eight, or nine, they can separate into either two or three groups. If you have three groups of three, that's fine. If you have four and five, six and three, any combination is perfectly fine because there's no change. Each of them is benching with Zeman. However, once you reach Asara, you're not supposed to separate. Then, because you have the chiyuv to say Elokeinu, so you shouldn't give up that obligation unless you have 20. Now you have 20, so you can have two groups of 10. Again, it's the same idea. If you have two groups that are eating in the same house, but they're not really together. So, if the group A can see group B, as long as even only part of group A sees part of group B, they can combine together and bench together. The Gemara will tell us, likewise, if there's a waiter, they can combine because the waiter connects the two groups. But if they can't see each other, they're in two separate rooms. No, they happen to be serving from the same kitchen, but they're in two separate rooms, they can't see each other, then they have to each bench separately. And if they have three in this room, three in that room, they bench each separately, but they can't bench together. Then we say, so big question, why is this over here? So it's probably talking about benching, kosher bracha, so that's why this is over here, not in the previous paragraph, because here we're really talking about a bracha again. What's the nusach of the bracha? So the Mishnah tells us, you can't make a bracha, bar piagafet, on wine, says their wines were very, very strong, and they needed to be diluted. And if you drank raw wine, the bracha is not bari priyagofen. It's only once you dilute it that now it becomes wine, it's le'iluye, it's uplifted to a higher level. Now, instead of making a bari priyagofen, you can make a bari priyagofen. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chacham Mevarach will say, no, even if it's raw wine, i.e. undiluted wine that's very, very strong and not as palatable as the diluted wine, nevertheless, you still make a bari priyagofen. The Gemara will explain what the machlokes is. First of all, we start off and ask, this Mishnah seems to be something that we learned previously. My Kamashalot, what's our Mishnah telling us that three people, if they're eating together, can't break up? Tanina, Chodesh Zibna, we already had this a few dafim ago, on dafim and hey. Gimel Shachu Kiachas, if three people are eating together, Chayav and Lazame, they have to go bench Zimun together. So what are you telling me over here? They're not allowed to break up. So Gemara says, no, the Chiddush over here in our Mishnah is Hakamashulan. He heard the Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel. This is what Rabbi Abba said in the name of Shmuel. Gimush Yoshu Lecho Kiachas. If you have three people that are sitting down to eat, Va'adayin Lo Ochlu, they haven't eaten a Kizayis yet, according to many. That's what it's talking about. They just started to eat. So then, Eino Rashon L'Cholik, even though they haven't yet had the Chiyuv, because they haven't eaten a Kizayis yet together, they're not allowed to go and separate. The Mishnah Berurah adds over here that even if the person wants to finish eating before them, once the chiyuv of zimun sets in, unless he specifically states, I'm not being mitzarev with you, then you're not allowed to separate. The Taz, however, does qualify a little bit. He says, if you started eating by yourself, and then two people came over to you, then you're allowed to be separate from them. That's the girsa that we have. The Gemara brings down another girsa, and there's a lot of different girsas over here. I'm just going to keep on reading the girsa that we have in the Gemara and not read the Bach and the Gra. Lish Nachrina, another version over here, is Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Abba said in the name of Shmuel, Hachitani, this is the halacha. Gimush Yashu Lecho Kiachas, if three people are sitting down to eat together, even though they each had their own sandwiches, each one brought a brown bag from home, each of them has a peanut butter sandwich, they didn't eat from one loaf of bread, nevertheless, they're not allowed to separate over here. They have to eat together and bench together. Another gear, so inami, ki had the Rav Huna, it's what Rav Huna said. What did Rav Huna say? The Amar Rav Huna, gimu shebo mi gimu chaburo. So if you have three groups of people eating together, and one person from group A, one person from group B, one person from group C, they all break off, and now they go sit together, and I'm Rashon L'Cholik, they're not let us separate. They have the bench mazimun together in their new place. Amar Rav Chisda qualifies this, and he says, vohu shebo mi gimu chaburo shu gimu many other. As I already said, they each came from a place where they were chayiv in zimun over there. If I'm a Rabba, and Rabba qualifies, if we turn to Domit Beis, he qualifies it first, and he says, "Lo amor and el delo aktimu hanoch v'azamun alayu b'duchsayu." They didn't bench Zimun already in the place where they sat. So Group A didn't bench with the Zimun. Group B didn't bench with the Zimun. Group C didn't bench with the Zimun. And now one person from each of those groups pulls together in another place, so to say, to make a Group D. So then they have a chiyuv to bench together because they had a chiyuv of Zimun, and A and B and C still have their chiyuv of zimun. They have enough people left over there behind them. So let's say there were four in each group. So one person from each group moved away. So now you have four groups of three instead of three groups of four. Avol izmun alayah. But if they already benched in A, benched in B, benched in C, and now one guy from A, B, and C each goes off together and they form a group D. So then if they already benched, avol izmun alayah b'duchsayu, parach zimun minayit. They already heard the zimun over there and now they're sitting down together. They don't bench again b'zimun. The Mishnah Berurah does bring down over here, if the three people then ate again, so then they would create a new Zimun, and they would have to go and bench with Zimun if they ate over here. The Rush doesn't seem to hold like that, but there's a whole discussion there in the Shaar HaTzion, Ayin Shem in the Mishnah Berurah. Rava had qualified this, and now he says, Amar Rava, Mino Aminala, where did I get that qualification? Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, Mito Shenignava Chetzya, if you have a bed that was Tame, and half of it was stolen, it was taken apart, or half of it was lost. In other words, you don't have an intact bed anymore. A Kaili can be Makabo Tuma. When you break it from being a Kaili, the Kaili loses its Tuma. Or alternatively, or it was originally owned by two brothers, and now they separated. You take half, I'll take half. O Shutvin, or two partners, and they break up. You take half, and I'll take half. So the Kli is broken, Tahora, it becomes Tahora. What happens if after it's broken, they put it back together, Hechzirua, so now it doesn't get back its old Tuma, but it can now be Mekabela's Tuma, Mikanu Labo. It again is a Kli, so from now on, if it became Tuma, it becomes Tuma, but it doesn't restore its old Tuma. Once that Tuma left it, it's gone. Mikanu Labo, in, only future Tuma can it now accept when it's put back together, but Lamafreya Lo, it doesn't regain the old Tuma that it had, so what do we see from here? Amok, even the Palgua, once they separated, just like our group, once they separated, Parach LaTumma Mina Hachanamik, even the Izmun Alaya Parach Zimun Minayu. So just like the Tumma left when you broke up the bed, even if they get back together again, the Tumma doesn't return, so too. These three people from A, B, and C, when they get together again, they lost their Zimun because A, B, and C benched the Zimun, so therefore they can't make a new Zimun together based upon the old. If they eat together again, like I said, the Mishnah says, they wouldn't make a new Zimun because they would have a new Chiyuv. Just like if the bed gets put back together and a Tumma person touches it, so then the bed will become Tumma again. Then we said in the Mishnah, Beis Chabur Suchulei, if you have people eating over here and people eating over there, if they can see each other, they can be mitzarev. So as I mentioned, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, in Yei Shamash Benayim, if there's a waiter serving both groups, so the Shamash and the Tzarfa, even though A can't see B, B can't see A, the Shamash who's serving both of them can be, so to say, the go-between and be mitzarev to two groups. So if you have two people in room A and two people in room B and the Shamash, so then they could bench Bezimun because the Shamash is mitzarev them to make Zimun. Then we said, we don't make a bari priya gofen on wine unless it's diluted according to Rabbi Eliezer, who is the Tanakama. So the Gemara starts off and says, Tana Rabbanon, yayin achlo nosa lasocha mayim. Before you dilute it and you put in the water, again, they used to dilute it one in two parts, one in three parts, because their wines were very strong. So they would add water to it. So ein mevorach la bar priya gofen. On the raw wine, the Braisa says, the Tosefta says, the Tanakama holds, you don't make a bar priya gofen on it. Ella, what bracha you make? Ella bar priya eats, because it's like a fruit juice at that point in time. It hasn't reached its higher elevated state of being wine. And therefore, if it's like fruit juice, so we paskin that you can go and wash your hands, according to this opinion, with fruit juices. You can do netilas adayim not only with water, but you can do it with fruit juices. So this wine, this raw, undiluted wine, has the status of fruit juice. And just like you only make a bar piyates on it, you also can use it as a fruit juice to do netilas adayim. However, once you elevated it to make it into wine, so now it gets a higher bracha, mevarchan alav bar piyagofen, and likewise, they notlin mimenu liyadayim. This is the Tanakhama. Rabbi Eliezer says it no longer is called fruit juice. It's now called wine. And wine can't be used for netilas yadayim. So it has a chumra and a kula. It's a chumra that you now make a high bracha. It's a kula, so to say, that you can't do netilas yadayim on it because it's not fruit juices, it's not water, and you can't do netilas yadayim with wine. Again, a chumra kula, depending on which way you're looking at it. The Chacham disagree, like they did in our Mishnah. The Chacham amin bein kach ubein kach. It's wine. Mevarchan al bar pi agofen. You always make a bar pi agofen on it because it's already a more elevated thing as wine rather than as just a fruit, a grape. They know the name menu liyadayim, and therefore you can never use it for netilas yadayim even when it's raw. Now the Gemara asks, "Kaman oz lohadam Shmuel? Whose opinion? Which Tana does this go like?" The Shmuel said, "Osa adam kol tzorach of bipas. A person is allowed to use bread for whatever he wants, even if it's going to destroy the bread. Bread is such a choshev item; you're not allowed to do anything to destroy it. But if you need to, you're allowed to." So Shmuel said, "You're allowed to use the bread for a purpose that's not eating purposes if it benefits you." So two. Keman, who does this go like? Rabbi Eliezer. This seems to fit in well with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that if you want to use the wine when it's in a raw state for netilas yadayim, even though you're not allowing it therefore to become the highest state by diluting it and making it wine, you're allowed to do it. So it seems that Shmuel's statement aligns with Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim are moded to Rabbi Eliezer. Because shal bracha, however, shein vorchen lov achi tilin socha mayim. Even though it may be a bar priya gofen, if you want to have a koshal bracha, which has to be a chosh of a thing, you should definitely dilute it and not use a koshal bracha of undiluted raw wine, which is not as mehuder as the diluted wine. Why taima? Why is this so? For the reasons that I just said. Amar Rav Shaya. But ina mitzvah min amuvcho. You want to do a kosher bracha with the best possible thing. The best possible thing is diluted wine is much better than undiluted wine. No, Rabbanan l'may chazit. Now the Rabbanan said that you do make a bar priya gofen on raw wine. But what purpose is it? It's not really potable in that situation. It's raw. It's too strong. So Rav Zera, no. Chazi l'kuryati. It is useful for something called kuryati. Rashi explains, Rashi about 10, 15 lines down from where we are, it's something in a foreign language to him called Faishun, which the Metagram said is min mashkim lirufua ma'ur b'yayin. It's some sort of medicinal drink that's mixed in with wine, and Rashi says in the Lashon of the Gemara, it's called anumlis or aluntis, which we had previously in the Gemara. These are medicinal drinks. They have some benefits that have wine inside of them as well. So that's why raw wine is good, and therefore you make a bar piya gofen on it. Now we bring up Rashi, Tanur Rabbanon, Dal Varm Nemru B'Pas. There are four things that are said about bread. The following four things. Number one, ein menichin basar chai al hapas. You don't put raw meat on bread because the raw meat is going to ruin the bread. Either it's going to make it disgusting, the Rabbeinu Yonah brings down, or because it's going to now put blood on it. And therefore, you're going to have to scrape off the blood, get off the blood from it, and you're going to ruin the bread. So therefore, that's number one. Don't put raw meat on bread. Number two, vein mevarim kos mole al hapas. Don't carry a cup of wine or any other beverage over the pas because it's going to spill and you're going to ruin the bread. Number three, bein zark and esapas, you never toss bread. It's a chosh of a thing, and you don't degrade it by tossing it. And as well, it may get ruined by tossing it. Number four, bein sochem and esakar b'pas, you don't lean a plate on bread because you want to keep the plate in a certain angle, but you don't do that on bread. It's pasnish to do it on bread. In other words, bread is such a chosh of an item, you don't want to do anything that degrades the bread or that would destroy the bread. Now, story. These three great amaroyim, once eating together, they brought out to them some dates and some pomegranates. Shokel Marzutra took, and Posak Rashi says, he threw Lekame de Ravashi Distana. And he threw to Ravashi Distana. Distana, Rashi explains over here, is a foreign language word that means basically like a meat kreplach. And the Rashi says, it's a mana shabasa mavushal. The Targum says over here that it's this cooked meat over here. He says it's like a gravy, a thick gravy with bread and little pieces over here of dough and vegetables, all sorts of things mixed up here. It's like a meat kreplach is the best translation. That's the Girsa that we have over here. Now, according to this, then what in the world are we talking about the Tamri and the Rimonim if he threw this meat kreplach? So some say, Pasak Lekame Distina the Ravashi. They put the word Distina, it's saying that he threw these Tamarim, these dates over here, or the Rimonim, in the plate of the meat that Ravashi had. Others say that he threw the distana onto a clean plate and therefore didn't ruin it, because the bottom line is that he was allowed to throw these things over here because he didn't ruin them. So, in any event, Marzutra threw something over here onto the plate of Ravashi. So, Ravashi tells him, Lo Savol Amar, doesn't the master hold, Lahod Tani, that which we just learned, Ein Zorkin and Ochlin, that you're not allowed to throw food? So he said, no, that's only Hayibapas. You're only not allowed to throw bread, because bread is so choshev. But other foods that you're not going to ruin, that's the critical factor, so you're allowed to throw them. It's not called Yemavaza, the Ochlin, because they're not so choshev, and it's not called Baltashkis, because you didn't ruin it. Therefore, the Gemara said, Hayibapas Tanya, that statement, you're not allowed to throw food, is only talking about bread. More questions is, Vatanya, Kishem Shein Zorkin is Apas, just like you're not allowed to throw bread, Kach Ein Zorkin is Oakland. It says, Befeirish Masechah Sofrim, that you're not allowed to throw food. So how do you respond to that? Amalei, he says, Vatanya, in another place he says, Avo Bishein Zorkin is Apas, even though you're not allowed to throw bread, Avo Zorkin is Oakland, you're allowed to throw food. So therefore, we have a contradiction over here. One place says you can throw food, one place says you can't throw food, everybody agrees you can't throw bread. So how do you reconcile all of these different opinions? Elolokasha. It all depends on the situation. It all depends over here. Are you ruining the food or not? If you're not ruining the food, you're throwing an apple, and somebody catches it, so there's no harm done. But a piece of bread, even though he's going to catch it, you don't throw bread. That's the critical factor. And if you're tossing something into a place where it will get ruined, so then you're not allowed to throw items that aren't bread. Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa says this clearly as well. Mamshichin Yayim Bitsinoros Lufnei Chosin Lekala. They used to have a beautiful minhag. They wanted to show that the Chosin Lekala, they should have a long life. That's why we anoint the king by a river, to show that just like the river keeps on flowing, his kingship could keep on flowing. So too, they wanted to pour wine, so to say, in front of the Chosin Lekala. We have a similar idea at Havdalah. You're supposed to overflow the cup of wine in order to show that there should be brach on the house. So too, you're pouring wine over here in front of the chassan and the kala. The mafarshim bring down that lav dafka is going to waste, although they point out if it did go to waste, it would be allowed because of simchas chassan and the kala. But they would put it in these pipes and then collect it so it didn't go to waste. So they would throw wine or pour wine in front of them that they should have a long, healthy marriage. They likewise would throw in front of them various types of parched kernels and walnuts. Again, it's some sort of a symbolic idea that their life should be beautiful, and they would only be allowed to throw these kloyos and egozim, however, bimosachama, in the summer, in the dry season, when they would land on the floor, they could be picked up because they wouldn't get ruined from the mud, and they could then be eaten. So you're not destroying them. Avalobosam, if somebody got married in the rainy season, you couldn't throw these kloyos and egozim because they get ruined in the mud. But you never were allowed to throw avalo guskos. You couldn't throw the Viennese table at them because it's going to get ruined. And this you can't do lo b'yosacham, lo b'yosacham, because you toss the cake on the floor, it's not going to be good, whether it's a dry season or a muddy season. So again, the bottom line is bread we never throw. Halacha l'maisa, people shouldn't throw the bread at the table. They should pass it. And the minhag is not to pass it from hand to hand. You pass it on a plate and you bring it around. An item that won't get ruined, an apple, you toss an apple to somebody, it's allowed. I'm not saying that you're behoived to toss the apple. It's nice if you hand it to them or you pass it to them on a plate, but you'd be allowed to throw something that won't get ruined. But if something is going to get ruined, you shouldn't throw it as well. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Yehuda, Shachach v'hichnis ochlin asoch pip. If somebody forgot to make a bracha and he put the food into his mouth without a bracha, below bracha, so what should he do? Mesalkin l'tzad echot, push the food to one side of your mouth, mevarach, while it's in your mouth. That's that's what Yehuda says. However, Tanya, we have a braisa, Chodo Bolon. One Brisa says that you should swallow the food and then make the bracha. V'tanya Yidich, another Brisa says, Polton, you should spit it out. V'tanya Yidich, and a third Brisa says, Mesalkin, you push it to the side of the mouth. So which one is it? You have one Brisa says to spit it out, one Brisa says put it to the side of your mouth, and the other Brisa says swallow it. So Lokasha, the three Brises aren't contradictory one to the other. Ha, the Tanya, the one that said Bolon, that you should swallow it, it's on the mashkin. If you spit out the mashkin, you're going to ruin them. It's destroying it. So you don't have a choice over here, so you're allowed to swallow it. Because you can't make the bracha while it's in your mouth. You can't talk while you have liquids in your mouth. So in that situation, you can swallow it. And then Mepharshim talk about, can you still make a bracha or not? Certainly, if you have more drink, you can make the bracha on the next swallow that you have. Some suggest it's still called over la siyosan if right as you swallow it, you make the bracha. In any event, that's with a liquid. But the Tanya Polton, that which we said you should spit it out, b'midi the lo mamayis, is something that's not disgusting. A guy has a lollipop in his hand, right? He forgot to make a bracha, he took a couple of lips. So take it out of your mouth, make the bracha shahakol, and then put the lollipop back in your mouth. That's not disgusting at all. The one that we said that you should push it to the side of your mouth, that's b'midi d'mois. You're chewing a piece of meat. If you take the piece of meat out of your mouth and make the bracha on it, that piece of meat is destroyed. It's disgusting. Nobody's going to put a chewed piece of meat back into their mouth. Therefore, you put it to the side of your mouth. Since it's a solid, you can still talk while you have the solid in the side of your mouth, and therefore you make the bracha in that situation. That's why these three brises aren't contradictory. They're all talking about different things. So Gemara says now, the midi, the lo mimai is something that's not disgusting if you were to take it out of your mouth. The lollipop, let's say. So why don't we just say, put the lollipop to the side of your mouth. Nami l'salkinu l'tzad echad u'levarach. So why don't you make the bracha with the lollipop still in your mouth? Why did Badafki have to take it out of your mouth? You can make the bracha perfectly well with the lollipop in your mouth. So Tirgum Rav Yitzchak Kaskasa. So Rav Yitzchak, who came from a place called Kaskasa, said, Kamei de Rav Yossi by Rabin, Mishmei de Rav Yochanan, because of the pasuk in Tehillim Shenemar, Yimolei Pi Tilosecha, your mouth should be filled with the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not with something else. And therefore, in this situation, a person should take it out of his mouth and make the bracha without anything in his mouth. This is a good stopping point, so we'll end today's shiur over here.